Hey, everybody needs to know he died for sin. Amen. But he didn't stay dead. He's alive. Amen. So we talk, just to jump back a little bit, catch everybody up to speed. In part 13, we talked about Jesus calling fishers of men, that they weren't to go and catch fish anymore. They were to go with him and to catch men. Amen. And then we get back and we look at what we talked about on the part 14. In part 14, Jesus went into Capernaum, into the synagogue, and began to teach. And everybody was so impressed with his teaching because he taught different than the people they'd heard teach before, because they were just teaching something they'd read. He was teaching something that he had spoken. So it came from his heart to teach them the things that he taught, and it blew their minds and amazed them. And in the middle of that synagogue, in the middle of that service, there's a man there who's possessed of a devil. He's possessed of an unclean spirit. And he begins to cry out and yell at Jesus and basically saying, "What are you doing in here? What are you coming here to bother us? You coming here to destroy us? What are you coming here for? We know who you are. You're the Son of God. We know who you are." And he basically told him to shut up. He told him, "Hush." Basically, he rebuked him and said, "Come out of him." And he did. And, well, people saw that and they said, "Wow, look at what he can do." And he left there, and what we saw last week, he went to Simon Peter's house, and there Simon Peter's mother-in-law lay. She had come down with some kind of great fever and was unable to do anything. As a matter of fact, she was probably close to death. And they said, "Jesus, come and do something." So Jesus came, and he stood over her, and he took her by the hand, and he rebuked the fever because he has power over all things. And he raised her up, and she kind of dusted herself off and said, "Y'all hungry? Can I fix y'all something?" When Jesus fixes something, he fixes it. Amen. She had once the Lord had touched her, she had a desire to get up and do something for him. She had a desire not to just lay there and say, "Well, I need to take my rest." No, she was cured. She needed to get up and go forth and do something, and that's exactly what she did. All right, so the Bible tells us after that that Jesus got out of, and by the way, at sundown, the Bible tells us that because of what he had done in the tabernacle or in the synagogue in casting out that devil out of that man, everybody heard about it all over town. And when he went into Simon Peter's house and he healed his mother-in-law and she got up and fixed him something to eat that evening, as the sun was coming down, I guess there was a knock at the door, and they go to the door, and they said it was like the whole town showed up. Everybody around showed up. Everybody knew somebody was sick. Everybody knew somebody that was troubled. So they all showed up wanting healing. And the Bible said, and Jesus healed every one of them. He healed every one of them because the Bible told us that he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And it's just simply the Bible prophecy coming true. Jesus is fulfilling Bible prophecy. So that brings us to part 15, which, I jumped over on 15. Let's get over this morning, which brings us to this morning. And before we get into our text in the Gospels, talking about what Jesus did, we're going to look at something this morning. We're going to look at the disease called leprosy. How many of y'all in here ever seen anybody with leprosy? Don't even know what it looks like. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's horrible. Leprosy still exists. A lot of people think that there's no leprosy in the world, but there's still leprosy in the world. Leprosy is a disease that is caused by bacteria. It is primarily passed just like this right here. How you doing? You gave somebody leprosy. I ain't got leprosy. It's also passed like this right here. Handshakes and hugs. I said that was the two most common means of passing that disease. Now, that's human contact. That's one to another. That's expressions of sympathy, love, and caring, and yet it passes that disease on one to another. Which, you know what? I kind of looked at it like this. The very best we do falls short. It's kind of a picture of that. Even our love, one for another, is tainted with sin. Everything about us, because we're fallen creatures. We're sinful creatures. The best we have to offer ain't good enough. Amen. We need God. So let's look at leprosy this morning. We're gonna read about it. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 13. You found that? We're there in verse 1. And I want to welcome in those that are listening on the internet this morning. Hope they can hear us fine. And let's read Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." Now, God's given his ruling on what to do about leprosy, how to handle it. He's telling Moses and Aaron what to do. The Bible says, "When a man have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a bump, in other words, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague of the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh," in other words, it's sunk in, "it is the plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. So he has to go and stay with the priest 7 days, and then the priest shall look on him the 7th day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, and the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath seen have been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy." Now, over in verse 49 over here, it gives us what's to happen. The Bible says, "If the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof." You say, what's a warp and a woof? That has to do with the garment he's wearing. "Or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest." So I want you to get that. When somebody had a place that they weren't sure about, they went to the priest. Again, he shuts them up 7 days and he checks it after 7 days. And if it don't look good, then he goes back another 7 days and you get the meaning. But anyway, if he's clean, he has to be shown to the priest. Now let's turn and let's look in over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Now, again, we're following Jesus chronologically as things happened in his ministry and in his life. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. All right? Now, notice this is right after he healed Peter's mother-in-law. That started in verse 29 through 34. Now, we're picking up in verse 35 right after that. The Bible said, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And I said last time, we don't ever need to forget how important it is for us to get alone with God and talk to him. You need to talk to God more than you need to take in a fresh breath. You need God in everything you do. Again, everything we do, the best we can offer for anybody is not good enough. I mean, really, our best efforts fail. No matter how nice you are, it doesn't matter how good of a heart you think you have, you are still a sinner. And if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. You still got a fallen nature that wants to do wrong that you've got to have God's power to battle against every day you live. Now, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He is the Son of God, but he walked in flesh as the Son of God, perfect in all his ways. Not one speck of sin in him ever, from the moment of his birth to his death, he was perfect, the perfect spotless Lamb of God. Now, the perfect spotless Lamb of God felt a need to go and get alone with God every single day to have his power and to have his wisdom in his life. He wanted communion. He needed God to work through him. He was relying on God just like you and I rely on God. You realize that? Jesus Christ put himself in a humble human form, and he relied on God just like you and I do. Now, he went alone to get along with God. He needed that communion. Don't you think we do? We need it way more. All right, so he went in there and he prayed. Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Well, to them it was like everybody in the world was after him. I mean, the whole town showed up out there at the door the night before, and now everybody wants to know where Jesus is. So Simon Peter's leading them out to find Jesus. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So he's continuing to heal. He's continuing to free people from devils and things of that nature. And so he's going on if Capernaum's a big city, you got all these little cities, these little towns around. So he's going, it's like Jesus going to little small churches here and there. He's going to their synagogues and teaching and preaching there. And here's what's going to happen. Let's look here in verse 40. And the Bible says, and there came a leper. He had leprosy. To him, beseeching him, in other words, asking him, pleading with him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we need your power. Lord, we need your touch in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pay attention. Lord, this life is so full of trouble and busyness, and our minds, Lord, are always wandering for something to think on. Lord, I pray this morning, don't let the devil put thoughts in our head to distract us. Lord, don't let our minds wander. Keep our minds focused on your word so that we might understand, that we might gain wisdom. Lord, that we might have your power and your presence in our life as we go from here today. Lord, make us realize who we are and what we are and what we need, how we need you. Lord, remind us of just how much we depend on you. Please move on our congregation, move on those who are listening to us. Lord, I pray your work be done. And Lord, I know that I'm nothing. I know that I can't do a thing without you. So I turn myself over to you and I ask you, Holy Ghost of God, fill me and empower me. Remind me of the things that you've taught me. Remind me of the things that I meant to say. And Lord, help me to say exactly what ought to be said and just the way you want it said. And Lord, I'll give you praise and glory for the results because it'll all be you. Please, Lord, save some soul out there that needs saving. Bless us and meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. In order to help you to kind of understand a little more about this story, I want to kind of bring it down to where we can put a human face on it. We're going to give this leper a name. We're going to call this leper Benjamin. I thought for a long time, what would I call him? But I couldn't think of a better name. So we're going to call him Benjamin. And I want you to picture old Benjamin. He's a farmer. And you'll have to give me a little liberty to work with this story, but I'm going to try my best. We're just going to pretend that Benjamin's a farmer. He's a good man. Got a wife and family. And he's got a field, and he's busy plowing that field and growing vegetables and maybe supplying the village around him with vegetables, and fruit and vegetables, and he's a hard-working man. So day after day, he's out there plowing, working in his fields. And one day he comes in from the fields, he's got a sore place in the palm of his hand. And he asked his wife to look at it, and she said, yeah, if it don't look better by tomorrow, you might ought to go down and see the priest. Well, by the next day, it was a little more sore, so he goes down and sees the priest. The priest said, well, Not sure, but that may just be a place where you've rubbed it on something. But come on in here and stay. We'll shut you up in here for 7 days, and then we'll look at it. And so 7 days later, Benjamin comes in before the priest. The priest looks at it. He says, no, that doesn't look real good. We'll have to go another 7 days. So 7 days more pass by. And then the priest calls for Benjamin, and he comes in to meet with the priest. And the priest looks at it. He says, son, I have some terrible news for you. It's leprosy. And Benjamin says, oh, no. He said, yes, son, it's leprosy. It's already spreading up your arm. He says, well, let me go tell my wife and my children goodbye, hug them one last time. And he says, no, son, you can't do that. You've got leprosy. If you do that, you'll give it to them. Can't do that. You'll never see them again. You'll never be able to hold your wife in your arms again. You'll never be able to hug your children again. You're going to spend the rest of your life separated from the ones that you love. And so Benjamin's made to go out and live in a leper colony away from everybody. And I suppose his wife and his children probably took care of him best they could. They probably had an appointed place where they'd meet him, and they'd bring him food and things and provisions and lay them down for him. And maybe they could wave at him across the field. Maybe he could see them over there and wave, because if they ever got in contact with him, they'd be liable to catch the leprosy. It's a horrible disease. It's a disease that absolutely shuts you off from everybody that loves you and everybody you love. A terrible thing. Just think about it. He'll never more get to put his arms around his wife. He'll never get to feel her embrace ever again. He'll never get to feel the warmth of his children putting their arms around his neck and say, I love you, Daddy. He'll never feel that again. All because of this plague called leprosy. I want you to know what leprosy is a picture of in the Bible. Leprosy is a picture of sin. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousnesses, in other words, all the good things that we think we do, are as filthy rags. Now, I'm going to get a little gross here this morning. I'm just going to share that with you before I go into the rest of the story. But because leprosy was so common around Israel at that time, outside of town, there was a post, I'm told. And on that post was a rag that was affixed to that post. And with leprosy, there's what happens is leprosy attacks the skin, it attacks the nerves. And it's not that it does anything other than kill your nerves. That's what it does. It takes away your ability to feel. And so without the ability to feel, injuries aren't noticed because you can't feel. And so injury leads to infection, which leads to rot. And little by little, fingers are lost, ears are lost, noses are lost, eyes are lost. The body just begins to deteriorate. And so it's a horrible, horrible disease. Not only does it keep you from your family, but it slowly takes you away too. Again, it's a picture of sin. Sin, here's what sin does to us. Sin, when we indulge in it, it numbs us. It numbs us to where we cannot feel what God is trying to do in our life. It separates us from those who are in God's family with us. Because when you get off into some kind of sin, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to be around other believers. You're ashamed of yourself. And quite frankly, you've got kind of numb to everything. That's what happens. That's when people say, well, I was backslid. That's what they mean. I got beyond feeling. I didn't feel my heart tugging me. Says, you need to get close to God. It wouldn't be my heart anyway. My heart's deceitfully wicked. My spirit crying out, you need God. You need to go to God. You need to get close to God. Listen, I can't hear that. Why? Because I'm numb. Because of the sin in my life. That's what leprosy does. So this poor man, I don't know how long he had been in this shape. But I want you to understand that's the shape he was in. It had been possibly years and years and years since he had felt his wife's touch. It had been maybe years since he had felt his children's touch. And I want us to look over in Luke. Let's turn to Luke. I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. I'm sorry, let's stay in Mark. I hope you didn't lose your place. Let's stay in Mark. It's in both Gospels. It's practically identical. So we'll just stay in Mark this morning. So the Bible says, so Jesus is there preaching all around Galilee, and the Bible says there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can I say to you, the first thing he had to do is he had to seek Jesus. He had heard, listen, he had heard that Jesus had healed. He had heard that Jesus could heal anybody. He had heard when Jesus was in, again, when he was there at the synagogue, he had healed all manner of diseases. When he was at Peter's house, he'd healed all manner of diseases. When they came to him from everywhere, he healed all manner of diseases and cast out devils. So the word had gotten around that Jesus had showed up and done what nobody else could do. So he sought after him. Let me tell you something. You will never straighten out yourself. There ain't a book on this planet outside of this one right here that can help you. The world is full of self-help books. Everywhere you turn, there's some guru somewhere got an answer for something. I mean, listen, Joel Osteen can write books until they run out of trees. He ain't never going to fix nothing. Amen? Because he's an idiot. You can mark me down on that one. He certainly ain't a man of God. You can read all the books you want to. You can watch all the TV programs you want to. You can watch Dr. Phil or you blue in the face. You can watch all. You're not going to get any better looking for man to help you. Here's why. Man's just as sick as you are. It's like the blind leading the blind. Both of them going to wind up in a ditch. You don't need somebody as sick as you are trying to get you well. Because you're passing it back and forth. Amen? I heard they shut down Sulphur Bluff School the other day because everybody had the flu. You know why? They're passing it back and forth to everybody. They can't get rid of it. So they had to shut her down and shut everybody off from everybody for a while. Everybody get well. Listen, leprosy ain't no different. They passed it one to another. So they had to go somewhere to get a cure. It was incurable at the time. So he sought out the one he heard he could cure anything. And he went to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something else we got to learn how to do. We got to learn how to humble ourselves before Jesus. Let me tell you something. As long as you think you got it all together, you ain't never going to be able to get well. You ain't never going to be able to live for God as long as you think you've got it all together. It takes a person realizing that you are a failure at living, at life. I'm telling you right now, I'm a failure at it. I know I am. I know the very best I do is awful. Amen? I hit that brick wall so many times, over and over and over, that head hits that brick wall, me trying to do it my way. And you know what that is? That ain't nothing but insanity. Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is a person doing the same thing every day and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what we do. We try to live it ourselves without God's help and God's power. We have to humble ourselves before God. That's what this leper did. The Bible says he knelt down before him, or another gospel says he fell on his face. He came before Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, can you help me? No, what did he do? He fell flat down on his face before God. He didn't think he was worthy to stand up and look him in the eye. He knew his condition. Folks, we got to learn who we really are. We need to look. Let me tell you how you figure it out. You look into this mirror right here. The Bible says, it tells about itself that it is as a man beholding his natural face in the glass. In other words, a man looking in the mirror. Except when you look into this mirror, you don't see look, I can look in the mirror, and I think sometimes, well, I look good. But really and truly, I don't. I know I don't. But I talk myself into believing I do. We all do that. Ladies put their makeup on, and they sit there in the mirror. Well, I look good. Pop them lips, that lipstick. I look good. But truly, hey, listen, you can only do so much. Amen? You can only do so much to make yourself look any better. You only make yourself, you can only do so much. You don't realize other people see you differently than you see yourself. But when you look into the Word of God, let me tell you something. God shows you who you really are. God strips away accoutrements. I don't want to get too above everybody's head there. All the fancy stuff we do to ourselves. God lets us see the real us, and it shows us we need him. So we don't need to strut around like we got it all together. Listen, we need to come like that leper and put ourselves on the floor before God, get on our face before him and cry out to him and explain to him, Lord, we've messed up. We failed you. We need you. Lord, I'm sick. I am sin sick. My life is full of sickness in this brain of mine. The things that I've looked at in my life are still in here. Can I tell you something? The vile images that I have viewed in my lifetime are still hanging in the halls in this brain. The songs that I've listened to, some are ungodly as all get out, and they still play on the jukeboxes up in this head. You cannot undo what you've learned. You need to admit to yourself that you are sin sick as a human being. Now, somebody probably listen and say, well, I'm saved. I ain't like that. I'm saved. You're lying to yourself if you say you ain't like that. Listen, you've got the tendency to do every bit of it. Listen, David was king of Israel. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. And yet he went up on the rooftop and looked at a naked woman, called her over and had committed adultery with her. Listen, don't tell me it ain't still in you. You need God's power to overcome those things. Amen? And this leper came to him, and he admitted that he was sick and he couldn't do a thing about it. Oh, Lord. He fell on his face. He was ashamed of what he was. He was ashamed of the vileness and the stench in his body and the corruption all over him. He was ashamed. He fell down before Jesus. He was ashamed to lift up his eyes before to God. Listen, we ought to be ashamed of what we are and what we've become sometimes and how we act and how we portray ourselves before other people, the attitude we get, the temper we get sometimes, the jealousy, the envy. Listen, we ought to thank God we're still breathing. We ought to thank God we have life and all the blessings we do have instead of gripe and complain about what we don't have. We need to come humble before God. We need to come like he did and earnestly desire to be cleansed from the things that have defiled us and made us unclean. We ought to come earnestly desiring to be cured of it. Lord, I'm sick and tired of falling down the same way over and over and over again. I know the tripwires, I know the holes, I know the pitfalls, and yet I still fall down the same way over and over and over again. God, please cure me of this. Sick of it, amen? I know you know how I feel. I feel that way. Amen? Listen, just because I'm a preacher don't make me any different from anybody in this room. I fall down just like you do. I tell my wife that every now and then. She ain't here, I can talk about it. Now she's probably listening to me. But I have to remind her. I said, there ain't a man on this earth who steps behind a pulpit that doesn't have problems in his life. There ain't a man that steps behind a pulpit that has a wife that don't have problems in his marriage. There ain't a single one. You might say, well, we never fight. We get along perfect. Y'all got problems. You just don't want to admit it. Amen? A man and woman try to live together under one roof, you're going to have some problems because we're two different kinds of creatures. Amen? We don't see things, think things the same way. We don't eat. We are totally night and day. Amen? But listen to me. We need to be cleaned. And only God can cure us of the infection of sin in our life. What does it do to us? That sin, here's what it does. Again, like leprosy, it makes us where, again, we don't want to fellowship. It causes us where we can't fellowship. Because, see, a person who's close to God, a person who has the power of God in their life, They got joy. They got joy and peace and all those things that come along with being close to God. And you take somebody who's living sinfully, who's stepped out of the way with God, and now they're doing things they shouldn't be doing again. Listen, they're embarrassed of themselves. They may take an attitude because they want to cover up for their shame. They may get cocky because of it. But the truth of it is they're ashamed. And they get around somebody who's bubbling over with joy. It does so. It grates on them. They know they're wrong. So it separates that fellowship. It separates. When you're full of sin in your life, the last place you want to go is to God because you know you're ashamed of yourself. So it's a separating thing. It's just like leprosy. It takes us away from God's house, God's people, and God's presence. It makes us unfit to commune with God. We won't sit down at the table with God when we're in that condition. Amen? I'll tell you right now, you take a teenage boy. I mean, listen, he go out with some friends and get stinking drunk and act a fool. And he don't come in and sit down mom and daddy drunk at the table. No, no, no. He gonna get the tough stuffing beat out of him. He won't stay away. Well, what happened to him? I don't know where he's at. Well, he's off somewhere trying to get cleaned up. That's what he's trying to do. But he can't, you know, he ain't gonna fix it. He's gonna come in with a hangover. It's gonna tell off on him. Sin does that. It makes us not want to come into the presence of others. Number four, what we need to do here, we need to believe that Jesus is able and completely has everything we need to make us clean. So what he said to him, he said, Lord. It doesn't say Lord here, but he says Lord in the other gospel. In Luke, he calls him Lord. He acknowledged who he was. You know what? We need to acknowledge who he is. Lord means this. You're in charge of me. You are in charge of me. That's what Lord means. I'm not in charge of me. You are. And I'm going to humbly submit and follow you to whatever you desire for me to do. That's what I want to do. That's following Jesus. That's him being your Lord. You know, I hear people say, well, I made Jesus Lord and Savior in my life. Well, when you got saved, you made him Savior. But he's not Lord until you begin to follow him. So we need to understand that. We need to understand that we need to be willing to follow him as our Lord. We need to come to him in that way. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, if you want to, Jesus, you can make me clean. You know what I hear there? Faith. Faith that God's able. God, listen to me. God is able. He's able to cure. Not just help, but cure. God's able to take somebody whose life has been wrecked, who had a horrible upbringing, had parents that didn't care anything about them, treated them awful. He's able to take somebody who's been a drunk all their life. He's able to take somebody who's been addicted to all kinds of drugs, and he's able to take them and change them and clean them up and make them into somebody who's honorable before God. He's able. That's who we serve. Listen, it takes faith to believe he can do it. And that's what this man said. He said, Lord, if you want to. He didn't come to him and say, Lord, I want you to do this for me. That's what a lot of people do. Lord, I want you to heal me, and if you'll heal me, I'll do this and that and other. You know what I mean? A lot of people make promise, promise, promise. Lord, if you'll just heal me. My daddy, he was dying with cancer, and I remember that night just like it's yesterday. He had an office desk, and I was sitting at his desk. He's sitting in a chair across the room, and he said, oh, if the Lord would heal me, what a testimony I'd have. I said, well, daddy, Lord may not want to heal you. He may not want to. And you know what? He didn't heal my daddy. But you know why? I believe he knew my dad. He gave my daddy one chance. They got the cancer out of one lung, and if daddy wanted to live for God, he'd done it then. But he didn't. And then when it's too late, and now the other lung's got cancer, oh, if God would heal me now, I'd do this, that, and other. Well, it's a little too late for that. People want to come to God on their terms. You know, these people in some of these churches around this area, some of these holiness outfits and Pentecost, they name it and claim it. Oh, they're going to name it and claim it. God's going to do what they say. No, God is not going to do what you say. I mean, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but that's not how God works. God does what he wants to do. He has a plan. He has a will. And you know what? He's always right, even if we can't see it. Heard somebody say one time, me and God hadn't always agreed, but I was always one wrong. Amen? A lot of times I don't understand why God does it the way he does it, but God has a plan bigger than my brain. Listen, we got to be ready to go to him and accept the outcome. But this man fell on his face before Jesus. Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And what do we find from Jesus in this? We found that he condescended to the man's level. He got down on the level where that man was at. He didn't look down on him and say, how dare you come to me, you filthy leper? How dare you come to me? You get close to me like that. Jesus didn't act like that to him. Jesus looked at him, and he saw the man had faith to believe that he could be healed. He saw that the man came seeking God's will, not his own. He saw that the man was humble before him. And Jesus said, I want to be clean. You know what happened? Immediately, right then. the infection was gone from his body. But you know what? I want you to look at verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion. You see, our Lord, listen, let me say this one time, and I've said it before, I think, but I like to repeat myself a lot. People make the mistake. Whatever kind of daddy you had growing up, people equate that with who God is. If your daddy was rough and harsh and to the point, and I mean mean at times, they think, well, that's how God is. No, God's not like your daddy. Or maybe your daddy was sorry, never done nothing for nobody. Well, listen, that's not God. God is not like a human person. God is great in every way. God is better than we can imagine in every way. Every attribute about him is greater than anything we've ever seen down here on this earth. Jesus looked at him, and his heart was touched by this man's willingness to come in such a humble fashion. And Jesus said, yeah, I want to heal you. I want to. Notice 41, when the Bible said, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand and he touched him. Now don't miss this. It had been years and years and years since he'd felt human touch. How long had it been since the last time his wife put her arms around him and held him? How long had it been since his children had held him by the hand or jumped up in his lap and put their hands on his face and told him how much they loved him? How long had it been since he had felt the human touch? And Jesus gave him the one thing he longed for more than anything, which was that touch. God knows what we need. God knows what we're lacking. It was psychological as much as anything. He knew what this man needed. He could have said, you're clean, and the man was clean. He could have done anything he wanted to. Jesus did all kinds of things to the blind man. He spit on the ground and got some of the spit and made mud and put in the guy's eyes one time. I mean, he spoke it and it was done. But he reached down and met him where his need was. That's who we serve. Jesus said, learn of me. Let's learn of him. Let's see who he is. Listen, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're not going to Jesus and getting what you need from him, it's your own fault. It's not his. He ain't never going to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always compassionate. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He promises us that. If we'll come to him like that leper did, admitting what we are and admitting how we need him, And knowing that it's up to him, and it's all in his will, what he wants. Listen, God tells us, he said, I won't cast you out. I won't turn you away. Listen, God's all sufficient. Christ is all sufficient. He's able to heal us. He's able to cleanse us. He's able to do anything. I mean, immediately it departed from him. Immediately, disease can't stand in his way if he wants to heal. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all that way. We're all rotten. 1 Corinthians 6:11, the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There ain't none of us in this room this morning, there ain't nobody listening to us this morning who got clean on in any other way than the blood of Jesus. That's it. There ain't nothing else that can do it. It's only one way, one option, that's it. He's able. So what does God require of us? Because, see, listen, the Bible says as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. I mean immediately. He was a different man right then. Never more would he have to go out and live in the leper colony. Oh, I was going to tell you about that post and that rag a while ago. I know, Mama, you wish I had never got back on that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Again, because they had stinking sores that oozed with pus. That rag that hung on that post, it was a community rag for the leper community. One leper would come on long, and they'd have maybe a thumb missing, have oozing pus. They'd take that rag and wipe that pus with that old dirty rag, and wipe that pus off, maybe wipe where their ear was gone, maybe their eyes oozing. They'd wipe that out, and they'd go on about their way. The next leper would come along, take that same nasty rag and wipe his sores, and then another one would come along, and another one, and another. You can imagine how filthy that rag was. When the Bible says all of our righteousnesses, that means the very best we have to offer God are as filthy rags. That's the rags it's talking about. That's how our best effort, I'm talking about us trying to please God without Him, that's how that looks to God. Filthy and vile. Listen, He's able to cleanse all that away. Like that. So what does God want from us? He cleansed this man. Now notice verse 43. The Bible says, and He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Well, what is that saying? He gave him strict instructions. Here's what you do. And right then he told him to go on his way. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I ain't got time to go into all the sacrifices, but listen, it was a bunch of stuff he had to bring and sacrifice, a bunch of different things. And all of those sacrifices pointed to Jesus being able to cleanse. But immediately Jesus said, you go, listen, Jesus didn't violate the law of Moses. Jesus didn't violate anything that was in the Old Testament. He told that man, he said, you go and do exactly what the law says. You go and show yourself to the priest. Listen, you go back in there and let him shut you up. And let him 14 more days. Let's go in there and look at it. And at the end of that, he's going to show you cleansed, and you're on your way back to your wife and children. But you see, and let me just share this with you. Listen, first of all, if God straightens us out, we need to be humble. We need to be humble. I want you to notice here, he said, don't go tell nobody. Don't go tell nobody. But I want you to notice what he did in verse 45. But he went out, and he began to publish it much. What does that word publish mean? Now, I know they didn't have the internet. They didn't have Facebook. He couldn't put it on Facebook. But if you post something, it says publish it, right? We're publishing it. We're putting it out there, telling everybody. We want everybody to like it, right? Well, I don't know if they had a newspaper back then either. They didn't have a printing press. But you know what he done? He told everybody he could find. And the Bible says he began to blaze it abroad. I heard a story about a man went to preach a revival over in Dallas. This is years and years in Dallas area, years and years ago. And this evangelist said to the preacher, he said, man, if you wanna get this thing stirred up, you need to start a fire in this church. Well, the preacher didn't understand him very clearly. And so church service started, and the preacher was gone, and he come back in a few minutes. He said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I need you to get in single file. The church is on fire. You need to exit out that door. He lit the Sunday school rooms on fire. Fire department showed up. I mean, people come from everywhere. It was in the paper the next day. Head of front page news. Revival going, fire breaks out. And guess what happened? People showed up in droves after that. Now, I'm not suggesting you set the church on fire. but anyway, fire brought them in. Amen. He began to blaze it abroad. So this man began to blaze it abroad. He lit a fire. He said, hey, this guy can do anything. This guy healed my leprosy. He didn't do it the way God told him to. He went and shared it everywhere he wasn't supposed to. Let me tell you something I think about this man. Even though he was thankful, pride entered into his heart. Pride entered into his heart, and when pride entered into his heart, you know what he began to think? I got to tell everybody about this. Hey, I'm going to be famous. I used to have leprosy. Hey, I ain't got leprosy no more. I'm going to be famous. You know what? I believe that's what he was doing. It was pride. Come see a man that got healed by Jesus. Come see. Like a sideshow act. Jesus said, don't go tell nobody. Here's your Black History Month moment. Thought I'd share this with you, something a black preacher said, and it was a fine statement. There's a black preacher commenting on this message, not my message, but a similar message. He said, you know, Jesus told him not to tell anybody, and he told everybody. Jesus told us to go and tell everybody, and we don't tell nobody. Ever thought about that? We don't tell nobody what Jesus can do like we ought to. This man wasn't supposed to, and he went and told everybody. That ought to do something to you right there. That'll make you think. Because he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody that Jesus died for sinners. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. Listen, we sing that song, we're little kids, right? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a... That's what we're doing when we don't tell people what Jesus can do. We're hiding our light under a bushel. And God said, don't do that. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Listen, we need to be very thankful for what God has done. We need to do what he's asked us to do, right? What did he ask this man to do? Go and show yourself to the priest and do this the right way. What should we do? If we get saved, we ought to get baptized because that's what the Lord commands. After we get baptized, we ought to join ourselves to a local assembly, and we ought to go out in this world and try to proclaim Christ to as many people as we can. That's what God's told us to do. It's not complicated. You say, well, I can do that. You can't. Again, you can't. You can't live for God. You can't love your wife or your husband. You can't raise your kids right. You can't do a blooming thing. You need God in every bit of it. So what makes you think you don't need God and try and tell other people about him? You need God in that too. That's why you can't do it. God will do it through you. And we need to be thankful. Because you know what? God didn't have to save us. God didn't have to love us, but he did. And lastly, we need to do what he commands us to do. He said, go to the priest. Go to the priest. In other words, we need to go to the Lord's house. And y'all are here this morning, and I thank God y'all are here this morning. Listen, we need not just come to church on Sunday. Listen, church is not a building. This ain't no church building we're meeting in. But this is church, because church ain't about the building. Church is right here in your heart. So when we split up from here after a while, the church is still around. It's just in a whole bunch of different places. So it has more opportunity to do more good. Because people come up here. You saw what just happened. People come up here. Oh, my goodness, I got to get out of here. You know, that's a church service going on. I thought you could come in here and listen a little bit. You might get something. See, they're laboring for the bread that perisheth, not for the kind that lasts forever. Amen? But we need to take what we have and share it with other people. Because that's the only way that God is going to be blessed and God's going to be honored and God's going to be glorified. If we just keep it all to ourselves, then we're not doing any good. Listen, what a compassionate Savior we have. And again, leprosy pictures sin. All a person has to do is come to Jesus, confessing their sins. See, that word repentance that I sang, where it was in that song I sang, and you hear me talk about repentance? When this leper came and he knelt down before Jesus and he put it in God's hands, not his hands, he was showing repentance. He's a picture of repentance. Lord, I can't do anything to make myself any better. You have to do it. I'm turning from my way, which ain't going to do me any good, and I'm going to you because you have the way. You are the way. And that turning from our thinking and our way and our understanding and we can handle it. No, we can't. We're turning to God. That's repentance. That's what that word means. It's turning to God, turning it over to God. And I urge you today, whether you're sitting in here this morning and you got some things in your life that you know don't belong there, you got things in your life that you know God is not pleased with and not honored by, then you need to get with him and you need to turn it over to him and lay it down at his feet and get that mess out of your life so that you can come close to God. If you've never come to him and in repentance and asking him to cleanse you of your sin and asking him to be your Savior, you need to do that. Listen, there's people listening to us all over the world this morning, and they need this. And I don't know about everybody in here. I don't know your heart. I don't know everything going on in your life. But I know what? I know him. I know Christ, and I know what he's able to do. And I know what he's done in me, and I know what he's still doing in me, and I know what he still needs to do in me. And so I come to him every day. Lord, if you will, please take this out of my life. And I'm urging you this morning. Realize you're no different than that man with leprosy. You need God's touch. Go to him and get it from him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for church. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for meeting with us today. I thank you for sharing, Lord, that you're able to do all things. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, you're able to reach down and take the vilest, most disgusting thing, Lord, and make it go away. And we know, Lord, that our sin is vile and filthy and disgusting before you. Lord, it disgusted you so much. Lord, you loved us with such a great love, in spite of it, that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our place, to suffer all the punishment that he suffered that we deserved. And Lord, you offer cleansing, you offer healing. Lord, if we would just come to you and we just lay our way down and, Lord, turn it over to you, plead with you. Lord, we know you're able. Father, I just pray you bless hearts today. You do a work in people's lives. Lord, remind us daily of who we serve. Remind us daily of how great a love you have for us. Help us and bless us. Father, we thank you now. Take care of us as we go out into this week. Father, I pray your blessing on each one here and each one that listens. In Jesus' name, amen.